Please be seated. I promise you a very few words. You've heard enough of me. But this reading that Carolyn just read, I of course chose for obvious reasons. It's several clear examples of Jesus not buying in to what his apostles so quickly moved toward, wanting to call down fire from heaven, wanting to create enemies where they didn't need to. He says, if they're not against us, they're for us. But the particular line that I want to focus in on is when he says to them, and this is the King James translation, I did it in James' honor. I know he likes the Queen's English. But there's a line there that isn't translated in all Bibles this way, but it certainly makes the point I thought would be well made. And that is, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. What Girard recognized was that this oppositional need, this accusatory need, what Jung would later call the projecting of the shadow onto the other, is almost entirely automatic, habitual, and unconscious. I'm sure the policemen, and we don't know their full motivation, but those who shot these two young black men, I can't imagine they were accepted on a police force if they were openly, obviously, consciously racist. I'd like to presume they were not, I hope. And yet, in the moments of fear and anger and anxiety, we all fall back to those reptilian brain responses. What maybe we would call the unconscious. And that's where healing has to happen. If we don't find a prayer form that invades your unconscious, and frankly, social prayer doesn't do it for the most part. Social prayer, which we're doing beautifully right now, it keeps you in your social roles, and you're concerned about doing everything properly, of course. So it doesn't have time to really rewire you. Once in a while, liturgy does, when it's done well, it seems, and when we're present, as I said. But more often than not, we operate on cruise control. I certainly know this as a Catholic priest. As some of you know, I do tend to change the words. But now people at the local parish know that, and so they're ready. But if I go to a new church, as I did recently somewhere, they just, when I didn't say what they were used to, they were just struck dumb. They didn't know how to say it. They were all on cruise control. Father says this, we say that, you know? And I just said, God all vulnerable instead of God almighty. And that, which of course is what the Trinity really means. It's a shame that we begin so many of our prayers with Almighty God, because Trinity is saying God is not almighty. God is all vulnerable. So I thought I'd explained it, I was about to explain it. So they weren't ready for all vulnerable God, and they didn't answer. They just stood there and, what do we do now? He changed the script, you know. We're all, and I am too, we're all creatures of habit. But my point is that we need to find prayer forms that catch us in an undefended state. That's contemplation. In fact, what you're seeking in contemplation is the undefended state. And that's why you have to do it, really, over a period of years to catch all of your different forms of defense, which are almost all hidden in the unconscious, which is where your wounds are at, your habitual reactions are stored, and if you don't bring them to consciousness, most of us live our whole life on cruise control. So that's why Jesus said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing. But there's one major point I want to make, and that's all. Because it's come in several wonderful questions that several of you have already brought to me. There's a common misunderstanding of scapegoating, as our teachers have so well taught about, and all critical thinking. And I tried to allude to it once, but I didn't say it very well. I said, did you notice that Jesus does talk dualistically in several very clear places? You cannot serve God and mammon, the sheep and the goats. It is harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. He calls people hypocrites. He calls people whited sepulchers, right? I did say Jesus isn't upset at sinners, but when he calls a spade is always when people think they're not sinners. And then he's very directive. And you notice the three dualistic statements I just mentioned. They all have to do with issues of power and money and righteousness in various forms. So don't leave here thinking that anybody who critiques something consciously, choicefully, intelligently, prayerfully is automatically scapegoating. No, sir. Scapegoating is an unconscious proliferating of the problem, by spewing your negativity out, projecting it onto other people. So what we're hoping this frees you to do is actually to develop a healthy critical mind. Critical doesn't mean negative, okay? There's a necessary place for needed naming of reality, or otherwise you could leave here thinking we're just namby-pamby people who say everything is beautiful. No, in fact, you've been given a new freedom to call a spade, all right? And only if you first succeeded at dualistic clarity to say this is good and this is evil, this cannot stand, huh? And what Jesus sees that in is especially people who will not own their own sin, their own dark side, and are projecting it onto other people. Now, once you have what I guess we'd call clear-headed thinking, you can call evil evil and good good and know how to get your own ego and your own anger and your own agenda out of the way and say, brother, I don't think what you're doing is right. There's every place for that. There better be. But what you come up against is a ceiling where just naming good and evil doesn't get you very far. So dualistic thinking is necessary and good as far as it goes. But what the contemplatives, mystics, and saints recognize, that when you really get into the heat of the battle, you have to move to a different level of consciousness. That's what we call the contemplative mind, the non-dual mind, third way thinking, beyond fight and flight, beyond dualistic dividing up of groups. But I think that's the only way I know how to interpret that verse. When he stops them because they want to call fire from heaven, he turns around, rebukes them, and says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. So you can say the same thing out of a good spirit, and you can say the identical same thing out of a scapegoating, hateful energy. And every one of you in this room can tell the difference. It's automatic. You know when someone is just wanting to pick a fight, is just projecting their own vomit elsewhere. And when someone from a place of grounded identity in God can say, brother, I can't allow you to do that. This is not good. This is not true. This is not beautiful. So thank you for allowing me to say this. I'm so glad the gospel lent itself to it, because I don't want us to leave here with any kind of false naivete. In fact, you've been sent now on a very narrow path, a narrow path that's capable of both clear-headed dualistic thinking, but you can rise when helpful and needed, which is just about all the time, to third way, non-dual love and compassion. So...